Welcome to Get Your Book Done. I'm your host, Christine Closer, a Wall Street Journal and USA Today bestselling author, award-winning publisher, and book writing coach to thousands. I love helping aspiring nonfiction authors write, publish, and promote their best books. Because there's nothing more powerful than writing a book to transform your life, your readers' lives, your business, and ultimately the world with your message. So let's get started. Welcome, everybody, for today's episode where we're talking about a really important topic that I see so many authors struggle with, and that is perfection. We're talking today about overcoming perfection as an author with Alyssa Patmos, and we're in for a super juicy conversation. So if you're an admitted perfectionist or maybe a closet perfectionist, this episode is definitely for you. It's going to help you start writing a whole lot more, a whole lot faster when you can bust through perfection. But before I get into that, I am so excited to announce that we just opened doors for my virtual one-day transformational author experience. It's a virtual one-day live event coming up next month in October. Registration just opened. If you're listening to this when we release this episode in the middle of September, you may still be in time for all the early bird specials and things that we have going on. And the place to go check that out is simply gybdpodcast.com. That's short for Get Your Book Done, the podcast you're listening to. It's gybdpodcast.com. And that link will take you directly over to the resource to join us at the Transformational Author Experience Live for a full 8 hours of transformational writing, publishing, and marketing impact. So I can't wait to see you there. Again, gybdpodcast.com will take you straight to our registration page, and you might be in time for like all the early bird stuff. So please do go check that out. But for now, we're going to be talking about, as I said, overcoming perfection as an author. And Alyssa Patmos is obsessed with how the stories we tell ourselves determine what we create for ourselves. She's a writer, she's an artist, and she coaches people inside of her membership program. And she also trains people in the art of neuro-linguistic programming. And she helps people really release that baggage so they can unlock more of who they really are, deepen their relationship with joy. And she believes that all the answers that you need, like everything, is inside of you. And that you just might need a little help bringing that stuff to the surface rather than having it stay stuck under the mask, the layer, the challenge of perfectionism. So I am super excited to have you here. I think she might be one of our youngest published authors. She actually published in a kid's poetry book when she was in middle school. And she is currently working on her first like big book outside of middle school. So welcome, Alyssa. I'm so excited that you're here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to talk about this topic.
Yeah, it's a juicy one. And like I said, I don't know many authors who don't have a little bit of perfectionism going on. So I would love for you first, because like, you know, yes, you wrote a poem in middle school and you became a published author back then, but you're in the process of really embarking on this journey of writing your first big, you know, signature book, if you will. So yes. What inspired you to say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to start writing this book?
Well, it actually relates to the topic we're talking about today, funnily enough, is I have been surrounded by writers since high school, and some of the first people I freelanced for in the creative industry were authors. And so I saw all of these amazing writers and I was like, there's no way I can write like them. There's no way. But as I was immersed in the world around them more, I just became obsessed with writing. And rather than starting to compare myself and saying like, oh, I'll never be as good, I was like, okay, what can I learn from them being around these people and how can I leverage that? And so I just became obsessed with writing, and then sort of one opportunity led to another. And now I just firmly believe that we see ourselves so differently in stories sometimes. And so when there's a character that we can see ourselves in and give us some distance from our own problems, I think it gives us the space to sometimes analyze our problems from a different lens. And that's why I'm so passionate about writing this fiction book.
How exciting. We've had, you know, it's interesting because I have really created my Get Your Book Done program, and everything we do is really focused on nonfiction authors, you know, people who are writing how to, self-help, personal growth, business, leadership, sort of, you know, self-help, nonfiction type of prescriptive books, if you will. Yeah. And we always have a few authors who come through who are writing fiction. And I love it because sometimes fiction can do exactly what you just said. It's like, I can see myself in a character. In fact, I was recording another podcast episode fairly recently, and they were talking about how it was a fiction book that changed the trajectory of their life because of what they learned through the character. So I'm excited for you and excited for this process and that you're using fiction to do it. Pretty awesome.
That makes me so excited to hear. I'm going to have to write that down because that's the motivation behind it. So I love that.
Yeah. That's it. That's what they said. I read this book and it changed my life. They happened to read it when they were literally 8 years old, and it was an adult, you know, it was an adult fiction book, but it transformed their life. It's pretty amazing story. So anyway, let's talk about this thing called perfectionism. And no one really likes to admit, I don't think, correct me if you think I'm wrong, Alyssa, I'm always open for correction, but I don't know that that's something that people really like identifying with. Like, I don't know that it's a badge of honor that someone put on a t-shirt and walk around like, I'm a perfectionist, because it does, I think it slows us down. So I'm just curious, like, what are your thoughts for the person who may feel like that? Like, wait, perfect, you know, that's episode isn't for me. I'm not a perfectionist, but underneath it, they are, they're just, you know, maybe struggling with the identity a little bit. What would you say to that person?
First, I would say it's so great that they haven't taken on the label, because when we take on the label, sometimes then it becomes an identity, and then that gets harder to shed. So for that person, I think it's amazing that they're not identifying as that. And then now the key will be, hopefully throughout this conversation, we'll talk about some of the ways that you can be more aware of perfectionist behaviors and how they are slowing you down, and what you can do to circumvent that and move around it without ever having to take on the label of perfectionist or not.
So, like, we're talking about perfectionism today. I'm just curious, do you yourself sort of identify as a perfectionist, or you just said something really powerful, perfectionist behaviors? Is it, like, I'm just curious your own personal take on the subject.
Yeah, I think I used to identify as a perfectionist, and then I transitioned to identifying as a recovering perfectionist, but I still noticed there being like a sense of pride in that, like, you know, like being the straight A student, you know, you want to be good at everything. And that's where I realized I was getting hung up. And so, no, now I don't identify it as one at all. I don't want to be one. And so I try to really focus on, okay, is this a perfectionist behavior? Why is it coming out right now versus taking on the whole label?
So when you say perfectionist behavior, like, can you just give it some examples? Cause maybe that, you know, maybe someone listening is like, well, I don't want to take on that label and be like, yeah, I'm a perfectionist and identify as that way. But they might be curious what some of these perfectionistic behaviors are that you're talking about. They're being, oh yeah, actually I do that behavior, or I do that behavior. What are some that you see within yourself and those that you've worked with in this area?
Yeah, I see kind of two ends of the spectrum, and we can flip between both of them. So on one end, we have paralysis, where we're not doing anything because we're so concerned about it being perfect. And if you're a big picture thinker, you know, and a lot of authors are, you're combining the stories of so many different characters, you're making plot lines work, you're trying to map the events that have happened in your life. And you're like, how do I get this all in an order that's going to make sense? There can be pressure there sometimes for that to feel as if it has to be perfect. And we can get stuck before we even get started. And so on that end of the spectrum, we can end up putting ourselves into a paralysis mode of, I'm thinking of every possible outcome. And so I don't even know where to begin.
Well, I have definitely had authors who have come into my world who have been in that place, some of them with books stuck in them for decades because there's just so much and I don't know what to do. And so they don't do anything. And the book is there for years, if not decades, inside of them.
And it's so painful. Like that, what you just said, having a book stuck inside of you, I am sure you've seen it because I know you coach people through this process. And seeing trapped creativity is one of the most painful things. I hate seeing trapped creativity because I know how painful it is. So on the other end of the spectrum, then you have the person who maybe they're over preparing for everything. So they go down like the research rabbit holes because they don't want to get a single number wrong. They don't want to misquote anything. And all of those things are great. It's just a matter of, can we recognize the difference between when we're doing it because we're fearful of something and out of a perfectionistic mindset versus doing it because it needs to be done and knowing when that stopping point is. So I see paralysis on one end and then the over preparing, double, triple, quadruple checking on the other end.
Very helpful. Now I'm curious because I've seen people on both ends. Like I've had clients who have had fully written, completed manuscripts, even edited manuscripts that have sat in their hard drives for years gathering cyber dust because they weren't quite sure that it was really, you know, good enough, perfect enough, what have you, to get it out into the world. So I've certainly seen people on both ends of the spectrum. So the big question is, how can someone discern between like the healthy kind of, I don't want to say healthy delay or kind of waiting for things to be right versus being in that paralysis state or, you know, making sure that it's good enough without crossing the line into, you know, having a manuscript that's already edited, sit in your computer for a few years because you're just not sure if it's, you know, exactly right. How does someone know when they're in the behavior that is really not helpful and perhaps could be detrimental?
So oftentimes when we're perfectionists, like we're really good at being, or when I'm going to drop that label there and correct myself, when we're exhibiting perfectionistic behavior,
you're so cute, love it.
Then we can often, we're really good at being in our heads. I'm sure you've experienced this with the authors you've worked with where they get so stuck in their head that it's all thoughts. And so one of the first things we can do is start paying attention to our bodies. And so if you're sitting down in front of your computer and you're trying to sling some words, but you're not sure which of the two you're operating from, I like to check in with my body and start noticing the sensations. Like, are my hands sweaty? Am I nervous? Am I coming from fear? Or am I calm and really present in the moment? Because when we're coming from the place of fear and can start to notice those sensations in our body, we can start to transform the thoughts that we're having, making up the story of why this thing needs to be perfect in the first place. And so the first thing to start doing is to sort of notice what frame you're coming from in your body when you're sitting down to write.
Very helpful. So really taking that moment to just pause and notice, how am I feeling? And I think sometimes, you know, and you said it right off the bat, you know, sometimes we can just get really stuck in our heads and in our thinking and all of that. So it really is a matter of bringing your awareness from what it sounds like to that moment, dropping into the body and just really getting a sense of letting how things feel in the body direct you rather than thinking through it all and just letting the physicality of the body help make that help you shift, which is brilliant.
Right. Because if we drop into the body and can notice which perspective we're coming from, then we can know what action to take next. Because if it's coming from fear, then there are probably a lot of unproductive things that are going to come up in that writing session.
Got it. Super helpful. Now, I know that you sort of have this, like this concept of the inner perfectionist sort of being like a character, mm-hmm. if you will. And someone that is some aspect of you that's inside of you that has something important to say that just wants to be heard. So for people who may have this, adversarial relationship with a part of them that does experience perfectionistic behaviors, like, is there a way for someone to maybe embrace or welcome or befriend, you know, that part of them rather than be in the resistance? Because resistance is, you know, never a good place to be in when you're writing, when you're really trying to access your creativity and open up to that flow. If you're resisting anything, it's going to kind of put a little kink in that hose. So do you have any advice for the person who might have that slightly, adversarial, maybe perhaps not most embracing relationship with the part of them that is a perfectionist?
I absolutely do.
Let me correct myself, with a part of them that experiences perfectionistic behaviors.
Yeah, I absolutely do. So a lot of people talk about banish your inner perfectionist, or they talk about kick perfectionism to the curb. And I have definitely been guilty of saying things like that in the past. But what I've come to realize is that so many of us, the reason we developed these perfectionistic behaviors in the first place was for survival. We thought that we had to be perfect to gain love. There was probably a time in our lives where our attachment was being risked. And so we denied authenticity and we decided, okay, I got to be perfect. And that's how I'm going to receive love, or that's how I'm not going to be abandoned. And so when we have these messages of kick perfection to the curb or banish your inner perfectionist, we're denying the voice of that person who was trying to do a great job and protect us and make sure we could survive. And so what I like to do is really start to get to know your inner perfectionist, treat it as a character. They want a voice. Like they have experiences that they have seen and choices that they made. And we can use that to our advantage. And so I highly, highly, highly recommend naming your inner perfectionist and treating it like a character. So my apologies in advance if any of the listeners' name is Polly. I do not want to put this on you at all, but my inner perfectionist, her name is Polly. And so I have to have conversations with her. If I sit down to write and drop into my body and I notice I'm coming from fear and she's giving me this critical voice whispering in my ear, I sometimes out loud, but sometimes in my head, pull her up and imagine her in front of me and have a conversation with her, because befriending her, understanding where she's coming from, is going to help me tenfold every single time.
Beautiful. So like you said, no offense to anyone that might be listening named Polly, but good to kind of name and use to your advantage, if you will, in some way, but to not keep trying to push her down, because we already know what the thing we resist persists. So
yes, absolutely.
I'm thankful for your insight on that. Because a lot of people kind of think of this perfectionism, perfectionistic behaviors like as not a good, not a good thing. So for someone to really be, and specifically, we're talking about authors here, and I've known authors, I've coached authors to help them not spend 30 minutes or longer, just perfecting one single paragraph when they could have written probably five paragraphs, during that same time, if they weren't, trying to get it gritty. So I know you talked about the importance of kind of tuning into the body, but for someone who really like is in it, are there any other suggestions that you have? Maybe if they can't quite make that shift right away from, oh my gosh, I'm in my head, to like, woo, dropping right into the body. Are there any other things that you can help them do? Or if you see yourself doing this, then try doing this instead. that might help them, because we do. I've seen authors who could spend, you know, forever on a paragraph rather than allowing that to be imperfect and letting the creativity flow. So any other insights to just help them in that moment where they're kind of in it?
Yeah. I have two. One is to help get to the point where we can practice being an observer more. And then the other one is way more practical, and tangible in that 30 seconds. So the first one would be, if you can, to visualize floating up above where you're working right then, and just see yourself and notice what you're observing and notice what's on the screen, and try to leave the perception of just being in front of it with your fingers on the keyboard, perfecting, going back and forth. So if you can get up above it, and, you know, sometimes I imagine that I'm a cartoon and I have a jetpack on and I float up above and I'm looking down, and sometimes new insights come then. The second one is, sometimes I do this. Sometimes what I do in those moments is I try to write the worst sentence possible. So rather than trying to write the best sentence, I go back and I intentionally try to write the worst thing, because sometimes the freedom of that can really loosen it up. And then third, I just came up with one other one that I don't talk about this very often, but it's highly effective for me. And sometimes what I do when I'm stuck writing is I just sing words, and it sounds weird, but there's something about getting out of my own way. I will just randomly start singing words and then, or record a voice memo and then go back and type what came out of my mouth, because sometimes getting my hands out of the way on the keyboard helps me unlock new things. So those would be three suggestions I have.
I love it. I'm tempted to put you on the spot and be like, what does singing words actually sound like? Like, are you singing individual words, like lasagna, pizza? You can tell that I'm grabbing pizza for dinner tonight. you know, do you just sing words, or do you sing sentences, or do you sing a line from someone's song? Like, are you just
random singing whatever wants to come to mind? Like, I just allow, and I feel kind of crazy when I do it. So I'm not going to lie. Most of the time, like, I don't do this when my partner's within earshot. Like, I go in my closet and hide for a second and then just let whatever needs to come out, come out. So I'll start with the most random word. So, I mean, I just had pizza for lunch, so it might've started there. And then I just see where it goes.
That is a brilliant idea. I love it. I'm going to have people like, yeah, I just sang about my pizza. Pizza, I guess, is the thing of the day, but that's perfect. Or the other, I used to dream when I was a kid, I used to have dreams of flying around in a jetpack. So I like the jetpack, like get yourself out of the situation from a different perspective idea, but also like writing the worst first. Like giving yourself absolute permission to just, let me just write something really terrible and just like spew it out. That is so freeing.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Yeah. Really powerful tip. Cause sometimes we just need to like lubricate, you know, the vehicle, lubricate the vessel that we are, and permission to, you know, write poorly, to see how bad you can write a sentence, I think could be good oil for the machine. I don't like saying machine, good oil for the mechanism, I guess, that's going to help you just get the writing out of your being. So some really great pointers and tips there. Those are fantastic. So thank you. I do want to take just a moment to talk about the free resource that you have available, because it's actually a meditation. And yes. Before we get into that, and of course you can all go find it on the show notes, and you start sharing about the meditation, how generally do you see that meditation may help people in shifting some of these perfectionistic behaviors? Is it like, does it just happen to be that the resource you want to share with everyone as a gift is a meditation, or is meditation for you sort of, you see that as being another piece of helping to kind of break the chains of perfectionistic behaviors?
I love this question. So for me, meditation, what this audio that they're going to hear is one of the trippiest things I guarantee that you'll ever hear. So I'll just drop that as a sneak peek. In this one, there are multiple tracks layered over each other. And what we try to do is to take out our very judgmental brain and just allow these power beliefs in. And so for me, I call it a meditation because that's what people are used to hearing. It's very much this track to install power beliefs and help people get to a powerful state in under 5 minutes. I mean, this is not having to take 30 minutes out of your day and sit in a corner quietly with no thoughts, because I would be terrible at that. So I would not put that on someone else to do at this point in time. So for me, the experience that I've had is just really recognizing that we can shift our states much quicker than we realize if we pay attention to them. We can be angry and frustrated and scared and overwhelmed 1 second, and then take a second to think about that amazing trip we went to on the beach where we were sitting in the sand and we could hear the ocean waves and we could feel the water briefly touching our feet and what it felt like to breathe in the sea breeze. And when you start to shift and allow yourself to visualize some of that, you can shift your state really quickly. And so this track is designed to help with that. There are multiple tracks layered over each other that all have these power beliefs around writing and how you're showing up and being unshakable. And so for me, it's yet another strategy to help shift out of either paralysis or the over preparation or any of the other behaviors that come up around perfectionism.
So what you all need to be thinking about doing right now is heading over to the show notes and grabbing this particular meditation that Alyssa has been kind enough to make available for you today as a resource to just help further, you know, this whole conversation to help you really shift out of these perfectionistic behaviors so that your writing can flow more easily. That's really what this is all about, right? How can we help you make writing your transformational book, having your impact in the world, making your difference with your message? That's not going to happen if the book stays trapped inside of you because you're on the paralysis side of the pendulum, if you will, or over on sort of like the over preparing, the everything having to be exactly just right. No matter where you are on that spectrum, if you're on that, if you're somewhere swinging back and forth, even between the two, because I know some authors that flip-flop from, you know, the paralyzed, they can't do anything. And then what they do, they're really expressing some perfectionistic behaviors around. No matter where you are on that, if you stay stuck in there, your book doesn't get out. The words don't get in the page. The message doesn't happen. The lives aren't changed and impacted. You are unable to really have that, that change happen that you want to have happen for yourself and for your readers and even your business in the world. It's like, there's a lot if you're staying in that, I sometimes call it the pendulum of paralysis that authors go through. So I do encourage you to head over to the show notes and get access to that resource. Again, there you'll also see the link for joining me for the entire day. We got a full day, not just a one-way conversation, but like a live interactive conversation for 8 full hours on October 30th. You heard me talk about that at the top of the show, the Transformational Author Experience. That is also over in the show notes, or you can just go to our podcast resource page, which is gybdpodcast.com. And that will take you straight to registering to saving your seat. And like I said, depending upon when you're listening, you might still get some of the early bird stuff going on. So please do check that out. And it'll be just a delight to spend an entire day with you face to face, not in person, but stage to camera will be pretty awesome. So I hope to see you there. So before we wrap today, though, one more question that I want to ask you, Alyssa, is out of everything we've talked about, or even what we haven't talked about today on this topic of sort of overcoming, and I might, if you're listening to this at the beginning of the show, we thought the name of the show was going to be Overcoming Perfectionism as an Author. I might just have to change that to Overcoming Perfectionistic Behaviors as an Author to just align it with the message. So you might see that change happening. But what of everything said or unsaid today do you feel is the most important thing that you want our listeners to walk away with and really take to heart from our conversation today around this topic?
I would say that the thing that is most important, because we don't want just the Band-Aid, we want to be able to change it from the root for the long haul. So it's not something we're having to fight consistently. So the most important thing for me would be to name your inner perfectionist, name that voice that you hear, so that you can start to bring more awareness to when it comes up and why it comes up and where it's coming up, and start to just have a compassionate voice to it. I think that will start to shift things in unimaginable ways fairly quickly.
Love it. Compassion. When you said that word, I just felt like it had like light bulb and like neon sign kind of pay attention to me. So yes. Maybe some of you listening felt that as well, like that, oh yeah, compassion for myself and this part of me, that just hit home when you said it. I was like, ah, yeah. Awesome. Thank you so much, Alyssa, for your time today, for your wisdom, for your authenticity, and for helping us reframe some of the language around today's topic. I am just so grateful for your time and your presence here with me and our listeners today.
Thank you so much for having me.
My absolute pleasure. And thank you to all of you who are listening for being here, whether you're listening on the day it released or a couple of years later, who knows, but I'm grateful that you're here and that you are on this journey. I certainly hope to see you for the full day on October 30th. So please do go grab your seat while we still have seats available. And until then, or until the next podcast, write powerfully, everyone. Bye for now. Thank you for joining me for this episode of Get Your Book Done. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to everything we talked about today. And if you want my help with your book, head over to christineclozer.com to learn more and get a free copy of my book, The Transformation Quadrant, which will show you how to blueprint your book in 15 minutes or less. The Get Your Book Done podcast is where the leading conversation is happening for transformational authors everywhere. And I'm grateful you tuned in.